Good afternoon. I call this meeting of the Senate Education Committee to order. It is 3:32 p.m. here on Wednesday, March 12th. We are in the Belts Committee Room here in the State Capitol in beautiful downtown Juneau, Alaska. Just a reminder to those here in the room, if they could please mute their cell phones. For today's meeting, you can find the documents available on BASIS. They've also been distributed to members. Additionally, there are copies available over there by the door. Members present today is President Stevens, Senator Bjorkman, Senator Cronk, and myself, Senator Lukey Gail-Tobin. Please let the record reflect. We do have a quorum to conduct business. I do want to note that we will be joined by Senator Keel at a later point in time. I want to thank Naomi from the Juneau LIO for moderating today's meeting and also Mary Gwen from Senate Records for documenting today's meetings. Just a reminder to folks, if you could, each time you speak, to identify yourself to ensure that we are able to accurately document who said what, when, where, why, and how. All right. First up on the agenda today is Senate Bill 18, a cell phone ban sponsored by Senator Bill Welikowski. This will be our first hearing of the legislation. We will take invited and public testimony as well. If you could please join us here at the dais. Please identify yourself for the record and begin your testimony when you are ready.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Madam Chair. For the record, Bill Welikowski. I'm a state senator representing East Anchorage. I'm joined by Dare Sue Cedar, who is a senior at Betty Davis East Anchorage High School and is mentoring in my office this week and through this semester through the Anchorage School District Gifted Mentorship Program. And when I first met with Dare Sue to talk about the mentorship, I asked him what he might be interested in working on, and he suggested that cell phones were a big problem in schools. And I was a little hesitant at first with many of the questions that I'm sure you all have and had on this issue. And then I began to hear the stories about kids who sit through AP classes, playing games all class long, about kids who sit through classes scrolling through their social media, about how disruptive cell phones are in schools. And then about a week later, I had a tour of a local middle school, Begich Middle School in my district. And when I walked in the door, there was a sign that said, no cell phones allowed. And I talked to the principal about that, and I said, how did you do that? Was that something that was, how's that working out? And they said, well, parents were concerned about it at first, but now he said it was the best, the principal said it was the best thing they had done in terms of discipline. And I've heard this from many teachers, from many principals across Anchorage, who say this is a huge problem in our schools. And you may be hearing some more of that in the testimony. With that, Madam Chair, I would respectfully ask that I have Dare Sue present the bill, and appreciate you hearing this today. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator Welikowski. Please proceed.
Thank you. For the record, my name is Dare Sue Cedar. Senate Bill 18 requires the Alaska Department of Education and Early Development to formulate a model cell phone policy that prohibits the use of non-school issued wireless telecommunication devices in schools. Additionally, the bill requires every Alaskan public school district to either adopt this model policy or draft an original policy that accomplishes the same goal, and obligates that school districts share their policies with all potentially impacted parties while allowing for emergency exemptions within those policies. An epidemic is threatening to overtake Alaska, one that affects the mental well-being and academic performance of students statewide. Cell phone misuse. One dominant facilitator of this epidemic's pervasion is the subject of Senate Bill 18 under consideration today, sanctioned cell phone use in educational environments. It is the purpose of this bill to improve student engagement in the classroom by restricting the presence of cellular devices, hereby improving student learning outcomes and mental health. Alaskan students are unknowingly diluting the quality of their education by embracing passivity in the classroom through engagement with their phones rather than their teachers. Numerous studies have demonstrated a negative correlation between cell phone use and learning outcomes. One 2021 study confirmed that cell phone use impedes academic performance, citing statistically significant data corroborating the claim that cell phone use is explicitly to blame for the determined result. I bear firsthand witness to its damaging influence every day at school, whether with my table partner, an AP Lit, who misses half the daily lecture because he's occupied with Clash Royale, or my friends in the back of AP Spanish busy maintaining their Snapchat streaks instead of their grades. Alaskans express persistent interest in prioritizing education. Restricting students' access to cellular devices during dedicated learning hours is an inexpensive first step in the right direction. It is also a step that 15 states have already taken and 28 states are considering taking in their legislatures this year. After attending Winterbury Charter School for the entirety of my primary education, I was egregiously unprepared for the negligible work ethic, critical thinking capacity, and interpersonal skills expected of me at East relative to my experience at Winterbury. What policy distinguished Winterbury from East to which one might attribute this distinction? Screen use, particularly that of wireless telecommunications devices, or, as they are known colloquially, cell phones. Phones weren't even permitted on campus at Winterbury, hence reducing the probability of students exploiting internet resources, weaponizing online social media platforms for cyberbullying, and encountering cognitive underdevelopment commonly associated with excessive screen use, resulting in depreciated learning outcomes. Everyone's work was their own at Winterbury, and everyone's work was their best. Meanwhile, at East, I was alarmed at the unconcern my peers, through no fault of their own, exhibited toward their education. Many deemed the magnetic vortex of social media more worthy of their time and attention than fulfilling their academic potential. I struggled to take school half as seriously as I had at Winterbury, specifically due to the freedom surrounding cell phone use in the face of a painfully evident attention war between teachers and cellular devices. Allowing arbitrary cell phone use in schools essentially equates to encouraging arbitrary cell phone use in schools. Educational institutions establish the standard to which students hold themselves in every realm of life. If that standard inadvertently endorses internet engagement through loose cell phone regulation despite evidence that such engagement is devastating to student mental health and scholastic accomplishment, then it is hardly a standard worthy of imitation. Alternatively, many have argued that restricting access to cell phones in schools poses a safety concern in the event of a school shooting. However, I am inclined to agree with Ken Trump's assessment, no relation, in his interview for the Washington Post, which asserted that, quote, "The general rule is, when you're in a lockdown, educators and safety officials don't want kids on phones because you want their full 100% attention on the teacher or other educators," end quote. Phones are more of a liability than an asset in these situations. They're distracting during class, and they're distracting during emergencies. Furthermore, the subjective temptation to post about such an incident online could alert a shooter to a student's whereabouts, while the collective temptation to dial 911 could clog emergency phone lines, diminishing the likelihood of their delivering an efficient response. Every teacher I have discussed this bill with, whether active or retired, urban or rural, has expressed total agreement with the argument presented in favor of its passage. They recognize that Alaska needs to set a new standard for students, one that empowers them to pursue meaningful learning rather than reinforcing their institutionalized predisposition to simply tolerate school. This bill invites school districts to exercise local authority in policy action that would benefit both the state at large and the lives of its students, while avoiding a blanket ban and tailoring policy elements to suit the needs of each individual learning community. I therefore urge the members of the Senate Education Committee to support this bill. Thank you for your time. We are available to answer any questions the committee might have.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Cedar. Are there any questions from committee members? President Stevens.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I look around the table here. We've got a couple of ex-teachers, a professor. So those of us, understand the problems you face. But could you talk about, we have a strong belief in this state about local control of school districts. Could you talk about what options school districts have under this bill? Is it just one thing and they have to eliminate cell phones entirely, or are there some options that districts may choose to implement?
There is some freedom for the school districts within this policy. They would have to prohibit the use of cell phones, the use or the possession of cell phones during class hours, during lunch, and passing periods. But the way in which they would go about doing that is up to their discretion.
Mr. Cedar, if you could please identify yourself for the record.
Oh, sorry about that. Yes. Oh, and sorry, through the chair, Mr. Stevens, Senator Stevens. Yes, my name is Dirk Cedar.
Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate your answer. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you, President Stevens. Additional questions? Senator Bjorkman? No? Excellent. Well, one thing I do note, on page 2, I see that you, on line 2, indicate that there may be exemptions for wireless communications for emergency purposes, but that does not include medical. So could you explain more, expound on why you might not provide an exemption for someone who might be using their cellular device for medical purposes?
Under the under the current form of the bill, emergency purposes would, in my interpretation, relate to medical emergencies or the prevention of such medical emergencies, such as using a glucose monitor for medical needs. But if the committee wanted to make that more evident, then we're not opposed to amending it to include a more specific reference to medical emergencies or medical needs.
Thank you. Thank you. I have additional question, and it's specific around something I actually heard from one of the AYEA members who have been gracing us with her presence today. And she shared that at her high school, West, she uses her personal device to actually get around some of the website bans for some of her international baccalaureate classes, which are specifically focused on music. That when she is looking for particular music references, the school's website filters prohibit her from looking at particular sites. So I'm very curious how this might impact particular students who might be in different types of programs if we do not allow them to use their devices during their academic experience.
Since the bill in question would leave a lot of the details up to the local school districts, I think that would be something that she could discuss with the local school board, and they might be able to make an exemption or modify their policy to fit the needs of students who have needs like hers.
If I could, Madam Chair.
Yes, please, Senator Wilkowski.
As you know, there is another bill working its way over to us from the other body, and that our bill, admittedly, is a lot more prescriptive. That bill has a little bit more ability for local school districts to set the policy. Our bill strictly would prohibit the use of non-school issued wireless telecommunications. The other policy coming your way is would only ask the school district or the department to regulate the use of non-school activity issued wireless telecommunication devices. So, if the committee were to decide to change the language to go more in the direction of more local control, allowing school districts more freedom to set this policy, we would have no objection to that.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator Wilkowski. And I only have two more questions. And I admittedly do not game and know nothing about gaming, so if I call this device by its wrong name, I apologize. But in terms of direct wireless telecommunications, what about folks who might bring their Sega Switches or any type of gaming system into a school, would those still be permitted under this particular policy?
Well, as someone who goes to school, I don't think that I can say I've ever seen anyone bring like a Nintendo Switch or a gaming device in. But the definition of wireless telecommunications device, I don't think currently would apply to those gaming devices, and if the committee wishes, that could be amended.
Thank you. Thank you. And then here's my final question, and this might be one for a doozy, and I would appreciate if Senator Wilkowski might want to also jump in. One of the things we did hear from a young person from AYEA today regarding banning of personal cellular devices is they actually believe the true problem is the fact that classes are no longer engaging, that the class sizes have grown so large that they're not actually getting quality education, so they prefer to be distracted or distract themselves. And instead, their argument was we should increase the base student allocation and ensure that our class sizes were reasonable and that they were getting quality instruction and not necessarily ban personal cell phone devices. Do you have thoughts about that particular point?
Yes, to the chair. I think that approaching the issue of student disengagement in the classroom, I think that we should have an approach from both sides. I support increasing the basic student allocation. But speaking from personal experience, there are plenty of classes that I have in my schedule. Like in AP Spanish, we only have 10, 15 people, and 50% of those people are on their phones pretty much the entire class. And the teacher is completely, he's tired of having to regulate it himself. And I think that this policy would give teachers an opportunity to, they can blame the state for having to regulate cell phone use in classes rather than looking confrontational or provocative.
Madam Chair, I certainly agree that we need to have an increase to the base student allocation, and I would also agree that we should have smaller class sizes. That said, I do think that cell phones are an endemic problem. And I do think even with smaller class sizes, as Mr. Cedar noted, it's the fight. I think taking that off of teachers and saying, and let the teachers blame us. I'll be the bad guy. They can blame me. And I guess we'll all get blamed for that. But I think it's a state policy. And just saying that we just think these need to be out of the classroom. You can use them. You know, you've got the rest of your day. Maybe the school district, if the committee decides to broaden it, maybe they'll allow you to use it at lunch or at break. But just while you're in class, you just shouldn't use your cell phone, unless possibly for an educational purpose, which, again, is in the House provision.
Thank you, Senator Wilkowski. I anticipate that you might get blamed by one particular high school student in
yes,
your life.
Yes,
I do want to let the record note that we were joined by Senator Keel at 3:48 p.m. President Stevens.
Thank you. I really like the bill. I've read the book, and I understand the damage that occurs in the classroom. But I'd like to explore the medical issue a little farther. You know, I can understand the glucose monitor tells a person if they are up or down or whatever, and they may need to know that immediately to take some action. Are there other things we're missing? I mean, there are other things that occur. I mean, what other kind of medical devices would a student need? And that doesn't mean that they have free to use their cell phone for telephone calls, but are there other issues out there? I don't know, heart matters or other issues that we should be aware of?
Through the chair, Senator Stevens, I think that this is the first hearing on this bill. The House has had a number of hearings on it, and I think they did good work. For all we say about the House, I think they did good work on this one. And they actually have a provision in there that requires regulation as opposed to a straight prohibition. They also have in the model policy that there must be exceptions for students to use wireless telecommunications for medical or translation purposes. So translation is another one where it could be applicable. In the event of an emergency, or when a teacher or administrator of the school grants permission to a student to use a wireless telecommunication device for educational purpose. So I think that would encompass the student who wants to use it for their school where they can't necessarily have any other access through the school district website, perhaps for students. Anchorage School District has students that speak 95 different languages. Betty Davis East Anchorage High is the most diverse high school in the United States of America. And we certainly have students who may need it for translation purposes. I think that's a wise change. And, of course, emergency, I think you could argue that it could apply to medical glucose monitoring. But just to be clear, I would certainly have no objection to that, even in a non-emergency situation. And giving the school districts some more local control, I think it is a wise move.
Thank you. Any additional questions? Thank you. Thank you for the presentation. We will now move on to a review of the fiscal notes. I believe we are joined by Ms. Heineken from the Department of Education and Early Development.
I think it might be their bill.
Oh, I think we are now joined by Deb Brittle, the Division Operations Manager for Innovation and Education Excellence at the Department of Education and Early Development. Ms. Brittle, can you hear us?
I can.
Excellent. If you, at your leisure, if you could identify yourself for the record and walk us through the fiscal notes.
So for the record, my name is Deborah Riddle, and I am the Division Operations Manager for the Division of Innovation and Education Excellence. And this is for through the Department of Education for the appropriation of the Education Support and Admin Services for Student School Achievement, OMB Component Number 2796. And this bill has a zero fiscal note. The cost of regulations will be absorbed within the department.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Riddle. Are there any questions? Seeing none, we will now move on to your invited testifiers. I believe we are joined by the principal of Begich Middle School. Principal, and I apologize, I don't think I'm going to pronounce your name correctly, so I'm going to let you say it on the record. If you could please identify yourself and begin your testimony when you are ready.
Hi, my name is Matt Widoff, principal of Begich Middle School. Can you hear me?
We can. If you could please begin your testimony when you are ready.
Did you say go ahead and talk now? I'm sorry.
Yes, please begin when you are ready.
Okay. So I've been listening. I just want to concur with what Senator Wilikowski says. Cell phones, you know, are a great thing for society, and students need them when they are traveling to school away from their parents. I'm at Alyeska on a ski trip right now, and it's nice to be able to know where my kid is on the mountain with his device. So cell phones are an amazing thing, but they're definitely an impediment to learning. Just also the same thing as a parent, think about all the negative interactions or times we have to ask kids to put away their phones or do a chore or re-engage in just family time, just connecting as humans. That the teachers have just told me over and over, thank you for not having to do that. I think, you know, the hard work was done in the beginning for my school and a few of the middle schools in our district. And it's really nice to see now that our district actually has passed board language supporting something similar to this bill across our district. I think it's helpful to get all teachers to buy in to something like this when they know that we have the backing of the whole community and the state at large. I heard some comments about this program or this website that I can't get through the filter of my school. I've heard lots of those comments. Our school, we have Chromebooks. We're one-to-one. If there's an academic need that we can't get through, we can always request your IT department to change the filters, you know, and work within a week to do that. It's so much less safe for students when students have unfettered access within the school to websites that don't have filters, using VPNs to see things. I get that possible bonus that we can access some educational, maybe niche things, but the risk that we're putting to our students by allowing them to have that access without supervision is much greater. I could talk for a lot longer about different things like bathroom use, vaping, but I think you guys probably, it sounds like most of the people talking are very aware on the whole issue and have looked at some of the research on teen mental health as well. And as a first year principal, this is probably the easiest decision I've done to make the environment in my school better.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Windhoff. Are there any questions from committee members? Seeing none, I want to thank you again for your testimony. We now will move on to Dora Wilson. Ms. Wilson, if you could please identify yourself for the record and begin your testimony when you are ready.
Yes, thank you. My name is Dora Wilson. I have lived, worked, and raised my three beautiful children in Alaska, in Anchorage. I have been a therapeutic foster parent for the past 21 years. My husband and I have had over 50 youth come through our home in that time. And I am also an elected member of the Anchorage School Board. As a member of the Anchorage School Board, I am pleased to share that on our March 4th meeting, our board unanimously voted to pass a board policy which details student possession and use of electronic communication devices, including use of cellular phones. This policy details educational uses addressed by grade level, conditions of use, and prohibited conduct, similar to the policy that you have in front of you, but in much greater detail. I appreciate that the Anchorage School District worked proactively on adopting a policy to prohibit the use of electronic communication devices in our schools. And I want to give credit to our principals that started this work in our schools, our many educators involved in the conversation that helped craft this policy, and the focus that has been both on improving the academic outcomes for our students and also improving the mental health of our students. I would also, as has been mentioned, would want to support allowing some flexibility on policy based on the needs of each of the districts in Alaska. As a parent and a therapeutic foster parent, I have learned that social media and electronic devices can both be a distraction and very harmful to a youth's mental health when not monitored correctly. I believe developing a policy regulating the use of electronic communication devices during school hours is a positive step in assisting our educators to help refocus our students, to help them with both their academics and help with their mental health, which are both incredibly important. And I would also like to thank Senator Wilikowski for all of the work you do to support education and support Alaska's youth. So thank you for your time today.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Wilson. Any questions from committee members? Seeing none, we'll now move on to public testimony. If you'd like to offer public testimony, I encourage you to call these following teleconference numbers. The first is if you're calling from Anchorage, the number is 907-563-9085. From Juneau, the number is 907-586-9085. From all other locales, please call our toll-free number at 1-844-586-9085. You can also provide public testimony from your local legislative information office or submit your written comments to senate.education@akleg.gov. That's senate.education@akleg.gov. Additionally, if you're here in the room, you can also sign up on the sheet by the door. With that, I will. Before we move on to public testimony, we do have a question from Senator Bjorkman.
Apologize, Madam Chair, for disrupting your flow. I have a question for the principal from Begich Middle School, if you're still available.
Yeah, I'm still here.
Excellent. Still off here. Thank you. Thank you for hanging on. I'm wondering, as there's kind of talk about flexibility and allowing teachers to choose academic purposes by which students might be able to use a cell phone, has your school explored something like that prior to having a cell phone ban at your school? Did you have a policy in place where there, you know, it was more flexible for the teachers to enforce? And how did that work for you?
Yeah, I mean, so prior to this, definitely we had, I'll be real specific, we had little signs we put up in the room that said, like, green light, you can use the phone, red light, and I even used those as a teacher. Coming out of the pandemic, so I've been a teacher for 15 years, what I just watched happen was the sheer number of kids with phones and the number of times you had to say, hey, put your phones away, and those individual reminders that you had to make came to be greater and greater. And simultaneously, class sizes are getting, we're getting larger and larger, not to start to talk about the BSA, but that does correlate to the story. And the rising wave of the amount of times you had to remind people of what your classroom policy was difficult, and then also becoming a principal, seeing, trying to implement this policy, how hard it is to get every teacher on board to accept it. And there might be a teacher who has that one thing where they really feel like they need their kids to have their cell phones because they have this one project or something. And then the kids are going to their next class and saying, but Ms. So-and-so lets us use our phones for this. And so really for this to be effective, you know, our administration really felt in talking to other leadership that it needs to be the whole school. And I even kind of just told our staff, hey, we have to do this this way. So, I mean, you'll see even in schools this is just an enhanced policy of what we had before, but we're really being more intentional about it and sticking to it, right?
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator Bjorkman. Seeing no additional questions, we'll now move on to public testimony. Public testimony is now open. Is there anyone in the room who wishes to testify? Seeing no folks, we do have someone. Oh, we have two folks. If you could please identify yourself for the record and begin your testimony, you have 2 minutes.
Sally Donaldson from Juneau. And thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, members of the committee, for hearing my testimony. I have been a school counselor in Juneau, Alaska, for 22 years, and I'm retired now. And one of the stories that I'd like to tell is that there was one year a few years back when I was helping with the statewide testing that was required, and I passed by a classroom. There was a teacher passing cell phones back to the students that he had taken from the students. He had a whole box, a shoe box, full of cell phones, and this was 12 years ago. One student claimed 3 cell phones. So I was pretty sure that that student's parents may not have known about all 3 of those cell phones. And cell phones in school have been a big problem for a long time. So is restricting cell phone use in schools a good idea for Alaska? I believe it is for these reasons. 1, cell phones are distracting. Even though they're in backpacks or in a teacher's desk, if a phone pings, students turn to see where that ping comes from. That's true for adults, too. Cell phone distraction is an unnecessary and preventable problem that directs a student's attention away from the lesson or activity. When any of us pays attention to our devices, we miss what's happening around us. 2, some teachers in Alaska collect student cell phones at the beginning and return them at the end of classes. That requires time and attention outside the intended instruction. Collecting students' property puts added responsibility on teachers, and I don't believe that teachers should add student cell phones to their long list of other duties as required. 3, students are more engaged with each other when they don't have their cell phones. I watched this very thing happen with a group of 8th graders that we took during lunch. They were engaged with each other. They were chatting. They were happy. And then one student pulled out a cell phone, and then 3 or 4 other students pulled out a cell phone. They went from facing each other and talking to parallel to each other, and all of the social interaction stopped.
If you could please wrap up your comments.
We've heard other testimony, and I really hope that the committee will consider passing this bill out of committee. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Thank you for your testimony.
Thank you, Chair Tobin and members of the committee. My name is Maureen Hall, and I'm a retired school nurse here in Juneau, currently serving on our assembly, but definitely dedicated to the health and well-being of our students. I would just like to touch on 3 points. The first one is bullying. That is, throughout our districts, that's a very big problem, and nowadays it's taken, you know, kids are arranging fights during school hours, then they're videotaping, they're posting them to social media. So that's an additional layer that our administrators, teachers, families, traumatized kids are having to deal with. Regarding the medical device, as a school nurse, I would say that students with medical needs or those with an IEP that necessitate using an internet-enabled device during the school day could be exempted from the, and if they don't have an IEP, you could write it into a 504 accommodation plan. So that shouldn't be a problem. As far as translators, you would want to check with your English as a second language teachers. Sometimes using Google Translate actually gets in the way of learning the language, but I'm not the expert on that. The final thing I would like to touch on is focus. To quote an author, Cal Newport, the ability to focus is becoming the scarcest commodity of the 21st century. So college professors will tell you that kids show up in college never having read a complete novel or fiction book in their entire high school career. So I think giving kids back their childhood, I was the screen-free nurse way back. I used to host the turn-off TV week for the kids, and it's gotten so much worse than just the 24-hour Cartoon Network. So thank you for this time, and I encourage you to pass this, give the schools, districts a little bit of flexibility for local control, but it will absolutely be the best bang for a very little buck to pass this. Thank you.
Senator Keel.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ms. Hall, just to avoid any confusion, you mentioned your elected role. Are you speaking for yourself or in that capacity?
Through the chair, thank you, Senator Keel, and I am speaking for myself.
Thank you. Appreciate your comments.
Thank you. We now have Allison Curry, who is here in the room. If you could please identify yourself for the record and begin your testimony. You have 2 minutes.
Good afternoon. My name is Allison Curry, C-U-R-R-Y, and I'm from Fairbanks. Chair Tobin, members of Senate Education, thank you. I wasn't planning on testifying, but I'm a real live middle school teacher. It is spring break in Fairbanks, so I brought the weather with me, and I'm down in Juneau just engaging with some legislators, friends, and I wanted to just give you a quick perspective. First of all, I echo everything that you've heard so far. Every testifier so far has brought up some great points, but I want to just talk about sixth graders because those are the people that I spend every day with. They are 12 years old, 11 turning 12. Most of them were born in 2012, and probably all of us know what we were doing in 2012. Some of you were here. I was teaching middle school then, too. They have never known a life without a notification. They've never known a life without a filter on a picture. They've never known a life where there wasn't a camera everywhere. And I think the one thing that people forget about cell phones in schools is that, first of all, not every kid has a cell phone. I teach at Ryan Middle School, which is a diverse middle school in the center of Fairbanks. It's also the middle school that I went to way back in the 80s. You can do the math. And not every kid has a cell phone. And I think that we forget about the fact that public schools are the great equalizer. And I like to think of these kind of policies as our one great chance to make school the last place, a sacred place, where these kids can come and know that they're free from all of those things. They're free from the notifications. They're free from the pressure. We've heard about some of the negative aspects of having devices in schools, and I just want you to think about how powerful it could be if we created a place where a student could walk in the door and know, I don't have to worry about someone taking my picture underneath the stall in the bathroom. I don't have to worry about someone sharing information about me or videoing me without my permission, or just having that distraction that we heard from that student who gave that great testimony about what he sees in class. That is huge. The amount of time teachers are wasting managing those things, I think, is can't be understated. Real quick before I wrap up, a quick story about what happened at my school a couple of years ago. I've been at my school for 3 years. We've tightened up our cell phone policy over time. But 2 years ago, there was a lockdown at Lathrop High School, which is right next door. It happened right at the end of the day. And students had their phones. And what ended up happening was students from Lathrop were texting students at my school, which dismisses about 20 minutes later. And word had gotten out that we are going on lockdown, even though we weren't. Students were texting their parents, and within 5 to 10 minutes, our entire front drive of our school, and if you know Ryan, has a huge area of parking and driveway, that entire area was filled with cars, packed, parents up at the doors, banging on the windows, cussing at office staff, I want my child. We didn't even know what was going on, because it was just the kids that had heard from kids at Lathrop that something was going on. If we had needed an ambulance, if we had needed a police officer, there is absolutely no way they would have gotten anywhere near our school because that entire driveway was full of cars and they couldn't have gotten in. So that's just another part of maybe we don't think about sometimes devices in schools. And I thank you so much for hearing this bill today.
Thank you. Thank you for your testimony. Are there anyone else who would like to testify here in the room? Seeing no one online, I'll now close public testimony. Senator Malkowski, any wrap-up comments? Thank you. Thank you so much. Well, if folks are interested in amending this bill, if you could please work the bill sponsor in my office. It is my intent to hold Senate Bill 18 until a future meeting, and I appreciate the opportunity to hear from you, Darsu. We will now take a brief eddies as we move on to the next. Never mind. We're going to keep going. We will now hear on Senate Bill 6, Asian American Pacific Islander Program, sponsored by Senator Gray Jackson. We have a CS before us. The CS has been distributed to committee members. It is work draft labeled 34-LS0071/N. Mr. Mason is joining us to explain the changes.
Mike Mason, staff to Senator Lukey Gill-Tobin. So when this bill was heard, there were some questions about the fiscal note. So Senator Gray Jackson and her staff worked with the legislative legal and made a very short change to this bill that hopefully will alleviate the fiscal concerns and result in a zero fiscal note when this bill moves on. So real quick, it was very simple. On page 1, line 7, the CS deletes the approved by department line. This change will remove the need for the department to approve the curriculum, leaving it in the hands of school districts. And once again, we believe that this will lower the fiscal note and make this bill a little more palatable to the to address the fiscal concerns.
Are there any questions? Seeing none, any wrap-up comments that you'd like to make, Senator Gray Jackson?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Gray Jackson, representing District G in Anchorage. I want to thank the committee once again for hearing this bill, and I want to thank President Stevens for his suggestion. I paid attention, and not only does it not have a fiscal note, but the fiscal note is going to be zero, is what I'm trying to say. And I'm pleased, and I'm hopeful that the bill will move out of this committee and go to the Finance Committee and end up on the Senate for a vote and then to the House. Thank you again for hearing the bill a second time.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator Gray Jackson. President Stevens, may I have a motion?
Yes, Madam Chair. I move to adopt the committee substitute for Senate Bill 6, Work Order 34-LS0071/N, as our working document.
Without objection, Work Order 34-LS0071/N is adopted as our working document. Is there any additional questions from committee members? Seeing none, if it's the will of the committee, I'd like to move Senate Bill 6 from this committee. President Stevens.
Madam Chair, I move to report Senate Bill 6, Work Order 34-LS0071/N, from the Senate Education Committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note.
Hearing no objection, Senate Bill 6, Work Order 34-LS0071/N, is reported from the Senate Education Committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes. We will take a brief at ease to sign the committee report as we move on to hearing confirmations. Brief at ease. And we're back on the record here in Senate Education. It is 4:17 p.m. on Wednesday, March 12th.
We are changing our confirmation hearing schedule just a tiny bit. We'll first be hearing from Heidi Barnes. Ms. Barnes has been appointed to the Professional Teaching Practices Commission. Committee members should have received a copy of Mrs. Barnes' resume. Additional copies are available right there by the door. Ms. Barnes, I believe you are joining us via teleconference. If you could please identify yourself and if you'd like to make an opening statement.
Hello, can you hear me okay?
We can.
Okay, yes. For the record, my name is Heidi Barnes, and I'm a teacher here in the Mat-Su School District. I'm currently teaching kindergarten and loving it. You have my resume in front of you, so I won't go too much into detail, but I graduated and became a teacher within the Mat-Su Borough. I've been teaching for about 10 years. I did take some time away from the classroom to stay at home and raise my son, but I did return a few years later. And intermittently, I was subbing with our district, taking various positions all the way from kindergarten to high school to working with the blind. I am passionate about teaching because of the positive impact that I directly make on students' lives. Getting to create a positive experience at such an early age and getting to witness the tremendous growth makes teaching such a rewarding career. As a teacher, I hold my students to a level of expectation within my classroom. I, too, hold myself to an even higher level of expectation, and I also believe firmly that educators should be held to that same standard as outlined in the Code of Ethics. I'm looking forward to being a member of the Professional Teaching Practices Commission, and thank you again for your consideration.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Barnes. Are there questions from committee members? President Stevens.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Ms. Barnes, this is a tough job. I mean, you are looking at taking permission to teach or the right to teach away from people. Is that something you are comfortable doing if they are not, as you say, teaching to the high standards?
Through the chair to the senator, there is a process. It wouldn't be just my decision alone. It is a group discussion, and there are processes, as I am told, and I have looked at. While that decision can be a rough one, and for my fellow teachers, it is one that I think comes with really great discussion and collaboration. So it wouldn't just be me solely making that decision.
Well, thank you.
Senator Keel.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ms. Barnes, thanks for your willingness to serve. I guess just a question about whether you think the practice standards that we have in place today are what they should be. Do they cover what they need to? Are there things missing? Are they too broad?
Through the chair to Senator Keel, yes, I believe that they cover quite a bit. I think they are sufficient. I've looked at them briefly, and I can't think of something that isn't already covered. I think it does a very good job.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator Keel. Seeing no additional questions from committee members, I will now open public testimony on this confrenee. Public testimony is now open. Is there anyone here in the room who wishes to testify? Seeing none and seeing no one online, I will now close public testimony. This completes our review of the appointment of Heidi Barnes, the Professional Teaching Practice Commission. President Stevens.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The Senate Education Committee has reviewed the qualifications of the governor's appointee to the Professional Teaching Practices Commission and recommends that the following name be forwarded to a joint session for consideration: Heidi Barnes. This does not reflect the intent of any of the members of the Senate Education Committee to vote for or against this individual during any further discussion for the purpose of confirmation.
The name of Heidi Barnes will be forwarded to a joint session of the Alaska State Legislature. Please stay behind at the end of this committee hearing to sign the committee report. We will now move on to... Oh, goodness, my papers got out of alignment. We will now move on to the confirmation of Kimberly Berge. Ms. Berge is being appointed to the Alaska Board of Education and Early Development. Members should have received a copy of Ms. Berge's resume. Printed copies are available also by the door. Ms. Berge, welcome to the Senate Education Committee. Would you like to make an opening statement?
Thank you, Chair Tobin and members of the Senate Education Committee. Just, I'll be brief because you do have a copy of my resume. I just want to make it clear, I am a product of our Alaska school system.
I apologize, ma'am. Could you please identify yourself for the record?
I am Kimberly Berge. Thank you for the reminder, Chair Tobin. I am a product of our Alaska education system from elementary all the way through college and graduate school. So I have that firsthand knowledge as a student throughout the system. As a parent, I've used pretty much all of the educational opportunities that are available in our state to make sure that all of my children are graduating as they should. I've been a lifelong advocate for children, no matter what my role, whether it's as a parent in the community or in the service of education or in other industry fields. Service to the community was role modeled to me by my parents. My father served on the local school board, and my mother, through her business, was a continual supporter of youth activities. I am the oldest of 10 children. I have been teaching for a very long time. And I have taught all age levels from infants and toddlers through adult education. And I've taught all across our state. I've taught in urban schools, rural schools, bush schools. I've worked in the mining industry, and I have worked in service industries. In addition, I am passionate about doing what's right and what's needed for our Alaska children.
Thank you. Thank you. Are there any questions from committee members?
Madam Chair.
President Stevens.
Something pops to mind. Is there a student representative on the state school board now?
Through the chair to Senator Stevens, yes, you are correct. We have an outgoing student chair or a student advisor, and he's mentoring our new incoming student advisor.
And that's something you would encourage, a student representation on the school board?
A student representative on our state school board is very valuable. It's one of the ways that keeps us directly connected to the front line of students.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, President Stevens. Keel.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ms. Berge, good to see you again. And thank you for volunteering for a fairly thankless job. A question, I guess, about your view of the proper role of the State Board of Education and Early Development in its leadership and especially its regulatory role. Our Constitution has a strong provision in favor of local control. Local school boards are locally elected. But certainly, we here in the legislature don't mind telling districts what to do from time to time ourselves. How do you draw the line when you decide how to cast a vote on the board between the statewide role and the local control?
Through the chair to Senator Keel, the most important part is the conversation that takes place as part of that process of making the decision and making sure that all stakeholder voices are heard based on whatever the issue is before you. That's one of the reasons why our board is diverse in its makeup. Additionally, we oftentimes have feedback directly from districts, and I have a broad experience in that I've worked in pretty much every type of school that we have in our state, and so that helps with perspective when you're reviewing those things and doing your homework ahead of time before you're making those votes. It's really important as someone on the state school board to stay connected to those local districts that you have and that you represent. And as an at-large member, I'm one of those people that have that get the opportunity to have that conversation statewide. So it's a great opportunity to learn what's happening in districts and be able to carry that voice back as part of your representation to the state board as it relates to whatever that local school district is. And we do know that our state is geographically large and geographically varied in what we offer, the size of our schools, and what we have access to.
Follow up. That is a great discussion. Thank you. And a strong process. I really appreciate that approach to information. I guess where I'm drilling to is, are there any places that or levels of management that wouldn't be for the state board to get into? They'd be for local districts to decide.
Through the chair to Senator Keel, there is always the importance of local control. That is part of our system of schools. When you look at state statute, it is specific to local control. Does the state board have an obligation to recommend policy? Yes, they have an obligation to do that. Do they have an obligation to give suggestions and ideas? Yes, they have an obligation to do that, because part of their responsibility is to ensure that we have a system of education that ensures that every child has access and the opportunity to a quality education.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator Keel. Additional questions?
I do have one, just because it's one that we've seen come up in my tenure here in the legislature, and that is really around the state board's compliance with the Open Meetings Act. And so I'm curious to hear your thoughts about how you ensure that the public is aware of what will be on the agenda and then ensure that there is robust opportunity for public input, and that if you will make a commitment to following those practices and policies that have been outlined in statute.
To Chair Tobin, I believe that public participation in the process is critical to success, and we need to be following those policies. Getting information out to parents, getting information out to school districts and to stakeholders is vital to our work. If we don't have their voice included, then we can't do justice in the service that we're providing.
Thank you. I appreciate that answer. It's one that I believe very strongly, that the Open Meetings Act ensures public trust. And we cannot do this work without the trust of the public. So I appreciate that. Any other questions from committee members? Senator Bjorkman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ms. Berge, thank you for joining us today. My question is, what role do you think the State Board of Education plays in helping to improve educational outcomes for K-12 schools, and what do you think the State Board should do to help improve those educational outcomes?
Through the chair to Senator Bjorkman, I think one of the most critical things that we can be doing is to be looking at our data to see what is working and what is not working. And when things aren't working, that's when we need to be asking questions. At the same time, our state, as I already mentioned, is geographically large. Sometimes that creates a struggle for those communications of best practices and getting that word out amongst districts of, hey, we're having some really great success with this, and how can we replicate it elsewhere? So that notion of a clearinghouse of best practices, I think, is also a critical role in moving our state forward educationally.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator Bjorkman. Any additional questions? Senator Cronk.
I'm thinking, Madam Chair, I don't have a question. I just want to say thank you for putting yourself out there, and I see your experiences very well, you know, documented here for education, but just thank you for wanting to do this.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator Cronk. Seeing no additional questions, I'll now open public testimony. If you'd wish to testify on the confirmation of Kimberly Berge to the State Board, now is your opportunity. Seeing no one here in the room and seeing no one online, I'll now close public testimony. President Stevens.
Madam Chair, the Senate Education Committee has reviewed the qualifications of the governor's appointee to the Board of Education and Early Development and recommends that the following name be forwarded to a joint session for consideration: Kimberly Berge. This does not reflect the intent of any of the members of the Senate Education Committee to vote for or against this individual during any further sessions for the purpose of confirmation.
The name Kimberly Berge will be forwarded to a joint session of the Alaska State Legislature. I will ask members to please stay after this committee hearing to sign the committee report. Ms. Berge, don't go far. We will now move on to the confirmation of Catherine McCollum. Ms. McCollum is appointed to the Alaska Board of Education and Early Development. Members should have received a copy of Ms. McCollum's resume. There are also additional copies available by the door. Welcome to the Senate Education Committee. Would you like to make an opening statement?
Good afternoon, Chair Tobin and members of the Senate Education Committee. I am happy to be here in person today to speak with you and tell you a little bit about myself. For the record, my name is Catherine McCollum. I was one of those people who always wanted to be a teacher. I played at school from the time when I was young and rounded up neighborhood kids for art classes and such. But in my family, and a very large extended family of 54 first cousins and a large family, it was not an expectation to go to college. And I was one of the first in my family to even think of attending college, which, thinking about it now, it kind of makes me emotional, because I actually talked some of my family members out of going to college when I was young, because what would you want to do? And I knew I wanted to be a teacher, so that's why you go to college. And so I'm proud that I followed my dream, and my other cousins are all very successful in trades and businesses, and I'm proud of that. I got my degree in 1988 in Idaho. I taught 1 year of first grade and married my husband. And being the very outdoorsman and adventurous type, he said, "Would you like to move to Alaska?" And I said, "Let's do it." So we moved to Alaska in 1989. I was very grateful to get a job in Palmer, Alaska, not where we thought we'd end up. There we are, and still there. And I've been teaching in the public school system since 1989. I retired in 2020, most of those years teaching first grade, a few in fourth grade, seventh and eighth grade, math and earth science. And I'm very, very pleased with the career that I had. I was grateful to host 12 student teachers and quite a number of practicum students. And that gave me a real perception of what we need in teachers and what teachers need to learn when they come to the profession. So I'm currently serving on the MATSU school board, and I need to say that I am here today speaking for myself and not the school board. So I am happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Are there questions for this conferee? President Stevens.
So, Madam Chair, thank you. I appreciate you're applying for the position and the governor's appointment of you. Can you tell me what happens with being on the school board? Is your term up? Do you resign? You can't do both, can you?
I can do both.
You can?
Yeah,
okay.
I can. I hope. I'm looking forward to serving. I feel very grateful that I'm a retired teacher and have time to serve in different capacities. And the district school board is a different, since it's an elected position, it's a different purview, basically.
Right. So. Okay. Well, good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, President Stevens. Additional questions? Senator Keel.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Maybe two. I'll start with a completely ignorant question. I thought I read that the MATSU Borough added party affiliation to its elections. Is that only at the assembly level, not at the school board level?
It is borough-wide elections. That's correct.
So, I'm sorry.
So school board and assembly. Mm-hmm. Added party affiliations, is that what you refer to?
Yes.
Yeah, just recently, I believe it was last fall, they passed an ordinance that allowed, if you choose to, you're not required to put your party affiliation on the ballot. That's correct.
A follow-up to that, Madam Chair. I don't have the statute book in front of me. I'm digging. I think there's a statute that forbids serving on the state board either while a candidate or maybe it's while serving in a partisan position. Have you looked at that, or is it a department?
I have not. I'm okay. Completely unaware, but thank you for bringing that to my attention. I would read into that.
Thank you. Yeah. And again, I don't remember exactly what it says.
Can I speak one more? I'm sorry, through the chair to Senator Keel. I believe that when they wrote the ordinance, the borough assembly, it's still a nonpartisan position, but just putting your affiliation on the ballot was something I think they thought about.
Right. Thank you. Another topic?
Senator Keel.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So we'll put that aside. Comparable question to the one I asked of the other nominee this afternoon. Can you give us a sense of your view of where the state board does and doesn't belong relative to local boards across the state? What's the local control cutoff in your mind?
Correct. Good question. Thank you, through the chair, to Senator Keel. I too believe in local control, and that's why we have a system of districts in our state and kind of the big umbrella of the state school board working through the statutes that the legislature proposes for us or we follow, and then the state school board's responsibility is to create regulations to go along with those statutes, and I believe that at the district level, we're working with parents and families and creating that community right there where we live. So there's the difference. Yeah.
Thanks. Thank you. Thank you, Senator Keel. Additional questions? I have a question, and I'm just curious about your experience outside of the Palmer-Matsu area. I'm currently looking at our current slate of state board members, and I'm noticing a lack of breadth of experience and diverse backgrounds. And so I'm curious to hear what you can bring to the table, ensuring that all students have a voice and representation.
To the chair, thank you for that. Are you talking about students having a voice? Is that what you, at the end, or you said, could you kind of clarify your question a little?
Clarify. Sorry. Our education system is for our students, and it's also with partnerships with our families, our businesses, our communities, all reflect the breadth and diversity of our state. So it's really about making sure that everyone has a voice.
I believe what you're saying is like the area, like we have representatives from Palmer, Wetzel, and we want to spread out around the state. So
and that
my
we make the rules for everyone.
Right. Yes, exactly. And my appointment is for the 3rd Judicial District. So it's a huge area. It includes Dillingham, the Aleutians, the Kenai Peninsula, the whole state. So I do see that as a huge responsibility to listening to the feedback we receive and trying to reach out as much as possible to those areas. And I think that the question in the previous appointee about how do you get the message out from the State Board of Education, I think that is really important, that we need to communicate better and celebrate our successes of our whole state through the Board of Education. And I've only attended 2 meetings, just yesterday and the day before were my first meetings. I really learned a lot and was excited to see some great initiatives that are coming statewide in regards to teacher recruitment and like some specific ones like Green to Teach, where we're encouraging military members to use their 6-month an apprenticeship type thing to become a teacher. I think things like that are really incredible ways for the state school board to serve the whole state.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And especially I encourage you, if you represent the area of the Dillingham, to visit Sleep Mute because they definitely need an advocate.
Through the chair, I would love that experience. Thank you.
I don't know if you'd love it.
I will tell you that I would. I enjoy getting out and seeing other cultures and seeing issues that need to be resolved. So, yeah.
Well, they have some major ones.
Yes.
Anyone else? President Stevens.
Well, thank you. I just want to say that I am so impressed that you spent 26 years as a first grade teacher. I spent a half a day 2 years ago in a first grade class with a great teacher that had total control of that class. And when I got home, I was exhausted after a half a day. I don't know how you do it. It takes an enormous amount of energy. Thank you for your dedication to our students.
Thank you very much through the chair to Senator or President Stevens. First grade was my love, truly. And I did even go back after retirement and work 1 year with just first graders again after COVID to kind of help those kids that had struggled. So, yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, President Stevens. Senator Cronk.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to say, like, Ms. Berger, thank you for, putting yourself out there and wanting to serve.
Thank you. Excuse me. are there any additional questions from committee members? Seeing none, we will now move to public testimony. Public testimony is now open. Is there anyone in the room that wishes to testify? Seeing none, I see none online. I will now close public testimony. President Stevens.
Madam Chair, the Senate Education Committee has reviewed the qualifications of the governor's appointee to the Board of Education and Early Development and recommends that the following name be forwarded to a joint session for consideration: Catherine McCullum. This does not reflect the intent of any of the members of the Senate Education Committee to vote for or against this individual during any further sessions for the purpose of confirmation.
The name Catherine McCollum will be forwarded to a joint session of the Alaska Legislature. I ask committee members to please stay behind the committee hearing to sign the committee report. I'm going to take a brief at ease. We're now back on the record here in Senate Education. It is 4:43 p.m. on Wednesday, March 12th. We now have the confirmation of Kimberly Berge to the Professional Teaching Practices Commission. Committee members should have received a copy of Ms. Berge's resume, and there are additional copies available by the door. Ms. Berge, welcome back. It's been so long since we've seen you. Would you like to make an opening statement?
For the record, my name is Kimberly Berge. I won't do another opening statement, Chair Tobin, except to say that it is just a great honor to serve and be able to give back to the profession that has been so kind to me.
Thank you. Are there questions from committee members? Senator Gill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ms. Berge, you got the local control question cold, but this one you've heard before. Are there areas within our teaching practice standards that are not restrictive enough, that are too restrictive? Are there changes that need to come?
When you look at, through the chair to Senator Keel, when you look at the Professional Teaching Practices Code of Ethics currently, it is relevant, it is applicable, and it is in alignment with what other states have on their books as well. And I don't know that there needs to be changes to it, but I do know that in the work of my first term that we have been giving supplemental guidance to districts specifically in regards to setting boundaries, especially around the use of social media and things like that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator Keel. Any additional questions? Seeing none, I will now open public testimony on this confirmee. Is there anyone in the room who wishes to testify? Seeing none, we will now move online. Seeing none online, I will now close public testimony. President Stevens.
Madam Chair, the Senate Education Committee has reviewed the qualifications of the governor's appointee to the Professional Teaching Practices Commission and recommends that the following name be forwarded to a joint session for consideration, Kimberly Berge. This does not reflect the intent of any of the members of the Senate Education Committee to vote for or against this individual during any further sessions for the purpose of confirmation.
The name Kimberly Berge will be forwarded to a joint session of the Alaska State Legislature. We will sign the committee report at the end of the committee. Please stay behind to do so. With that, our agenda is concluded for today. On Friday, there will be a joint committee hearing with Senate Judiciary. We will hear a presentation on young adults in the juvenile justice system with the director of Developmental Neuroscience Laboratory at the University of California in Los Angeles. This will be at 1:30 p.m. in the Butcherovich Committee Room. Please note that is at 1:30 p.m. in the Butcherovich Committee Room. On Monday, March 17th, we will take up the first hearing of House Bill 69, which is a bill to increase the base student allocation. And we will also have confirmation hearings for the appointees to the University of Alaska Board of Regents. And we will also receive a presentation on the new teacher apprenticeship program. That is a packed agenda. Oh, goodness, we might have to fix some things on that. With that being said, and there's no business before the Senate Education Committee Day, we are joined at 4:46 p.m.